I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Never. Never. Yes, God.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, God. Never.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. That's what we came to do this morning. We came to say thank you. This isn't about the things. This is about the preach. It's about saying thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm just so grateful. Just a few weeks ago, what the enemy used as a fear tactic to make me think that my heartbreak finally got to my body, only to find out that it was not what it looked like. And the fact that I'm able to stand before you, and so I can stand and tell God, thank you, that the attack was not what it looked like. Thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you that last night wasn't my last night. Thank you that COVID was not my last breath in my body. Thank you for still giving me the ability to worship you with my hands, worship you with my voice, worship you with my tears. We thank you, God, on this morning for your faithfulness, for your kindness, for your unconditional love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us in this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In spite of what I'm going through, like you said, there is still a thank you, Lord, in my mouth. If I have to dig, I'm going to find a reason to thank you. I'm going to choose gratefulness instead of my grief. That's a word for this morning. Choose gratefulness instead of grief. In the name of Jesus. And for that, God, we give you glory on this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's an honor, as always, to bring the word of the Lord before you this morning. Jesus, it's been a month. It's been a month. That's the least I can say, but that's what we need. This is a day out. This was a service just to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I'm just so grateful for everything God has done in us.
Thank
to, of you, course, the leader of this house, Pastor Rebea, we honor you on this morning. We to the weight of the praise and worship team who allowed the Holy Spirit to just use them on this morning. We honor you all on this morning. Thank you for pushing us to say thank you in spite of everything that we have been through on this morning. I won't be before you long, but I'm going to come from the subject, from the book of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Once again, that is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We'll read it just one more time for your hearing. And the word of the Lord reads this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Lord, I just come before you on this morning as your servant, asking you to continue to give me the strength to say thank you. We said thank you through prayer. We said thank you through praise. So now allow me to say thank you with this word. Allow my testimony of your goodness and your kindness and your power and your healing. Give me the strength to say thank you on this morning. So God, I ask that you bless my thank you unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. On this morning, I want to come from the subject, I'm thankful for my transformation. I'm thankful for my transformation. It's amazing when you look at nature, when you look at all God has created in the earth, especially through the plants, through animals, and even through us as human beings, and you see how everything that nature has to offer goes through various seasons of change. We see this when we look at the trees. The trees do all these beautiful things. It's funny how so much color is embedded into the tree before mankind can even come up with names for the colors. The trees have colors built into them where, you know, you have different types of flowers during the spring. The leaves start off green and they turn orange, red, and yellow, and then they fall off and those leaves shed. And then the tree goes dormant, and then it grows more leaves and more flowers in the seasons to come. You see this with all different types of animals, especially when you look like at a lot of like snakes and all types of other amphibians. They go through this process called molting or shedding their skin, where every once in a while, as the creature begins to grow, it just starts to break off that old skin, and it doesn't work for them anymore. So what they have to do is shed the skin. And when they shed the skin, it doesn't even look like it fell off. When they shed the skin, there is a whole new fresh layer that was made to help accommodate the current capacity that they are now able to handle. And even though us as human beings, we don't necessarily shed skin like that, but as we know, we go through so many different stages of growth, especially from birth to those first, you know, 20, 30 years of upward growth. You know, our bodies get taller, our bodies get bigger, all these different things. However, even though we don't shed skin, there are so many different things that we still do that represent the different type of seasonal changes. Of course, you know, some of the things that God has blessed us is, you know, sometimes we change our hair color, sometimes we shave, sometimes we may go through a season of like certain, like, you know, clothes or fabrics or all these other different things, but it represents the different types of changes and emotions that we may be feeling, and how sometimes whatever that process is going on the inside will reflect on our choices on the outside. But one thing that I found interesting that one of my friends told me, and I researched to make sure that this was true, they said that there is this actual scientific fact that every 7 to 10 years, your body begins to go through this thing where all the cells begin to rejuvenate, and all the cells, no matter what happened over the course. So this process isn't predicated on whatever happened, no matter what happened in that past decade or so, the cells begin to refresh and rejuvenate and allow your body to continue to grow and heal at a rapid rate. That's why I'm so grateful, of course, because I love some of the, I know I have some scars from when I was a child, because, you know, you always running, you always tripping, and the stuff is funny how scars that you might have had when you were 5, 6, 7 years old still are on that same arm or leg when you're 40, 50, 60. But one thing I love is that that scar is completely healed, that every time you touch it, it doesn't hurt anymore. It's become almost as a natural part of your skin, because over the process of change, that healing makes it so that you remember when you was there, but now psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and even with your nerves, you are no longer there. And that's why I'm grateful for God literally embedding change and metamorphosis and evolution into our flesh and bones. Because I may look a little unrecognizable right now, because I am indeed a work in process. And even though I'm not fully what I'm supposed to be, I'm grateful that I'm surely not where I used to be. So we look at this text and we see Jesus doing his normal routine, traveling, preaching, teaching, performing miracles, signs, and wonders. People from all different walks of life are hearing about this miracle man and how when he touches people, when he speaks to people, the unusual happens, the impossible happens, the incurable diseases that there was no medicine or vaccines for begin to heal immediately as people marvel, as spectators and family members look at their loved one that was damaged or even dead and said, this is impossible. This person had this condition for X amount of years. How are they standing before me like nothing ever happened? But of course, that news reaches 10 people, outsiders, black sheep, you know, lepers at the time, because at the time of biblical culture, if you was found to have leprosy, you was considered unclean and everyone was supposed to stay away from you. Kind of sounds familiar now, how we kind of have a almost leprosy attitude, you know, these last 2 years. If somebody tested positive for COVID-19, you are told to stay away from them. They can only be amongst people who are currently battling the sickness themselves. And it seemed like these things both were almost incurable. But what I love when you look at the scientific definition of leprosy is that it's a contagious disease that affects the skin, the mucous membranes, and nerves, causing discoloration and lumps on the skin, and in severe cases, disfigurement and deformities, to the point that sometimes body parts begin to start falling off. You know, sometimes they'll start missing toes. You know, if you'll start missing toes, limbs, fingers, ears, the things that they need to function. And the sad part is if they're leprosy case begins to decrease, there is still a possibility that whatever limbs they lost while they were in that season may possibly still never grow back. And that's sometimes what happens with my first point, when we endure the trauma, because we know that the definition for trauma is something that is incurable or naturally can only be intervened with a miracle. We know that trauma is sometimes starts on the inside, that heartbreak, that, you know, those, your brain waves get all messed up and now your blood pressure's messed up because you're always angry. Sometimes you're angry and you don't know why. Sometimes, unfortunately, anger, a frustration, even though we don't endorse this, a cuss out that was meant for somebody else, and it ends up going to another person, And it could be possibly because there's something that you're still angry about that happened decades ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what happens with trauma. And scientists and doctors have proven over and over again that sadly, if you don't get help, if you don't find ways to navigate the anger, the grief, the anxiety, all these different things, it can start to affect your natural health in a simpler way, that all those things that you're going through on the inside can start affecting the outside. It can affect your health. It can affect your ministry. It can affect your prayer life. It can affect your work. And now you are almost leprous with your emotions to the point that those emotions are now spewing things that was never meant to come out of you in the first place.
Yes.
So these lepers that are filled with the trauma of having leprosy, because not only was it a health condition, but if you're leprous and you can't touch anybody, you can't work. So, you know, they were poor, had no money, couldn't have access to their family or their friends. There was probably a mother or a widow who's not really a widow, but feels like a widow because her husband has leprosy, but because the husband or a son can't provide, now she is without. That's why it is important to make sure you're doing whatever it takes to get your healing naturally and spiritually, because whatever sicknesses, whatever emotions, whatever curses are affecting you does not just affect you, but it affects everyone around you. But yeah, you know, going through these things, you know, they're filled with hopelessness, they're filled with grief, they miss their family, they miss being able to work for themselves, they're tired of being begging, they're tired of being disrespected and spat on and people mocking them, you know, pointing at them unclean over and over again. But their trauma leads them to try Jesus. Because you see, when Jesus started walking by, they recognized him based off of what they heard. I said they must have heard what he's done. They must have heard what he's capable of. So when he came across their way, they were willing to try Jesus because nothing else was able to work. And what I love is the word try. We also use the word trial. And I love, because I know we always hear trial. Of course, we think of the negative, but the reason why we call it trials is because a trial is you being tried in a court, or I like to call it you're being tried in the court of cultivation, because the definition for trial is, it's two interesting meanings, which I love, but the first meaning of a trial is a formal examination or evidence before a judge, and typically before a jury, in order to decide guilt in a case of criminal or civil proceedings, or the other definition, a test of the performance, qualities, or suitability of a person or a thing. And what I love in this moment is that they were willing to try Jesus, and in that moment, Jesus turned to them, and just like for us in this season, God not only is trying us by allowing us to go through these different situations and circumstances, but he's trying us so that it can be an invitation for us to try him, to put his power on trial, to put his love on trial, to put his healing and deliverance on trial. Because like I say, you have tried everything and everyone else, but now it is time to try Jesus. And what I love is that Jesus saw them. He tried them with his eyes. Jesus was aware of the custom. He knew they were considered unclean. They were considered, if you touch them, you're going to be contagious. If you touch them, your hand probably going to fall off. If you touch them, You might test positive for a spiritually transmitted disease. You might test positive for depression. You might test positive for being that outcast. You might test positive you let them borrow something for being broke. But Jesus tried them and saw them, and he decided, I still want something to do with them. They are not unclean. They are not guilty. And I'm actually want to do something with them, because I love how he doesn't let, it's actually two reasons that he shouldn't be touching, not only because they're leprous, but because Jews are supposed to have no communication with Samaritans. That's why I love when Jesus brings up the parable of the Good Samaritan. So many people act too holy or too racist to touch the injured man during that parable. And there was a Samaritan who knew I shouldn't be touching him. I should have nothing to do with him. But I don't care, because the preacher left him laying there. Then some other people left him laying there. But I'm going to take it upon myself, because of the compassion that God has placed on my heart. And I'm going to deal with those that seem unlovable, because there is no such thing as unlovable. Because if God forgave you, if God loved you, you better not talk about somebody ain't unlovable. So that's why I love that Jesus was willing to let them put his faith, put his power on trial, that they want a trial with Jesus, that Jesus declared in a spiritual court, in spite of what everybody said, you are not unclean, you are not dirty, and I'm changing and breaking the rules on your behalf. Everyone claims that I'm supposed to not have no business with you, but I am going to choose and declare in heaven that I came just for people like you. So we have you dealing with trauma, and then being able to put Jesus's power on trial. And then that leads them to begin to walk in transparency. And what transparency is allowing light to pass through so that objects behind can be distinctly seen. And what happened is, okay, I'm so grateful, you know, because they cried out. They said, Son of David, have mercy on us. You know, we've been struggling with this thing for years. We've heard about you. We believe in you. We know you can heal us. We know with just your touch or with your words that we can be healed right on the spot. So we are begging you, please heal us. And Jesus is like, okay, I will heal you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to break this thing off of you. But I'm not going to do it like you was, like people told you how it's done. I know you may have believed that some people got healed overnight, some people got delivered overnight, that some people just automatically had this change overnight. But no, you can't compare your miracle or your process to anybody else. And Jesus shows that here when he says, okay, I'm going to heal you, but I need you to trust me with the instructions I'm about to give you. I want to do something different this time. I want you to get up, and I want you to walk and go show yourselves to the priest. By the time you get there, you should be healed. And they don't really show it here, but I can only imagine they probably caught all types of attitudes when Jesus told that, because I'm like, okay, Lord, thank you so much for calling me unclean. Thank you for not thinking I'm unworthy. Thank you but you may not think I'm unclean, but your people, I mean the people at this time still think I'm unclean. You know, your church, your temple, your priests are going to call me unclean. And you have the nerve to tell me to walk to them, because not only I guarantee you the temple wasn't around the corner, not only between here and the church or the priest or the prophet, all these different things. I have to be walking in public around all these types of people, and you have the nerve to tell me to walk, and there is still no guarantee that I'm going to be healed when I start walking, that the leprosy is still going to be on me when I'm walking. But God is looking for a season, and the season he's looking for people that are going to be willing to walk on the water. He's looking for people that are going to be willing to walk by faith and not by sight. He's looking for people that are going to be willing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, fear no rejection, no fear not being ostracized, because his rod and his staff come for you. I don't want you to worry about their opinions. I don't want you to worry about their stigmas or stereotypes. I don't want you to worry about that's not how we did it. I just want you to walk, and I want you to trust me, because the transparency is not about you. You sharing your testimony is not about you, because your testimony does not belong to you. Like the definition I said, transparency is allowing light to pass through you. So allow yourself to be transparent and allow people to see the progressive healing so that Christ's light can shine through you. When you are willing to realize my testimony is not my own, my thank you is not my own, then I can be able to let Christ's light shine through me. Because Jesus doesn't just want the glory out of your whole or your wholeness. He doesn't just want the glory when, oh, I'm completely healed. Oh, I got a new car. Thank God. Got all these zeros in my account. Thank you, Gino. He wants to get the glory even before you're whole. He wants the glory during the process. He wants the glory that, okay, I'm still struggling, but oh my God. Oh my, hold up. Hold up.
Come on,
okay.
Yeah, come on.
Oh my God. Did a finger grow back?
Okay.
Okay, I'm still in a lot of pain. Things ain't going good, but oh, I don't need this cane anymore. Thank you, God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I heard from some people in a minute, and I've been missing them, but I'm not as hurt like I thought I would be, because I remember when I was begging you to keep them staying, and I begged you on my knees to let them stay, and you still let them walk, and I found out I'm completely fine. This is the process of that transparency that God wants to take you through, because he wants to show you that all you need is him. That all these things that you thought you needed to walk in your healing, all you need is God.
Amen.
My Lord.
Amen.
Let him get the glory out of the process. Because I'm tired of a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church. People will be drawn to the church when they see we are people in process. We are being processed. We're going to be process no matter how hard you try, because yes, pursue holiness, yes, pursue righteousness, but there is a percentage that was reserved for eternity that only Jesus can do. He wants you to meet him halfway, though. He doesn't want you to just pull, he doesn't just want you to ask him to pull you up, but he wants you to say, okay, get up for yourself, or let me help you get up, but I'm not going to pull you up by myself. I want you to put in the work. I want you to get strong. I want you to stand. And when you stand, I'm going to stand with you. So yes, walk in the process and be transparent. Now, yes, seek the Holy Spirit on the level of transparency, but there should be a degree of transparency that people are able to tell. Thank you, Lord, because if you're working with them through this, that I know you're not intimidated, but why, whatever I'm going through. So show people that we're not a perfect church. Show them that we're not perfect when we say yes to God. Show them that we are people in process, that righteousness is a daily work. And show them that once they see God through our process, they will be able to see him in their process as well.
That's
good. So we went from trauma to trying Jesus, putting Jesus's power on trial. Now that you know the fact that Jesus puts you on trial and has declared that you are no longer unclean, but that you are healed. So, and we talked about transparency, letting his light shine through your process and your progress. And that leads us to transformation. Thank you, Lord. Transformation. And you with both the terms of transformation and one of my favorite words ever, metamorphosis, is the process of from an immature form, wow, the process of an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. And the other definition is a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. Let me repeat that again. By natural or supernatural means. And what I love, like I just said, as they went, they were healed. But I said, I love how there's so much room in there. Like I said, you know, as they began to walk, they saw that things began to change, I'm sure. They were so happy of the progressive healing. They didn't care about the comments. They didn't care about the people that were running off when they saw them. And that by the time they got to the priest, of course, they were completely healed. And they said, I'm sure when they got there, when they went to the priest said, leprosy, I don't see anything on you.
That's it.
I don't see the evidence of what you said you've been going through all these years. I don't see the evidence that you almost try to take your own life. I don't see the evidence that you try to use that bottle, but you woke up the next day completely fine. I don't see the evidence that you used to be all up in the street throwing people across the street and all of that. I don't see the evidence. I don't see the evidence. And that's what I love about God. I don't see the evidence, and I love that, because first, Jesus says about faith, because of course, we want people to be clean when they come, the same amount of small people to be clean when they come to the house of the God, but I love Jesus because he says, I don't see evidence during the season when the evidence is still there, but I'm going to put this word in your heart, I'm going to speak it over your mind, Jesus, speak the word over my head, when he says, I don't see evidence. I'm speaking to your future, because the minute you walk with me, the minute you talk to me, the minute you call on my name, there is a day and a season coming that when you look back, you're going to look and the evidence is going to no longer be there. Thank you, Lord, because I am grateful for a progressive miracle. You appreciate a progressive miracle that you had to put work in for, not just something that was easily handed to you overnight, but we have to put in the work through prayer, through sowing, through fasting, through sacrificing, through being crushed. You appreciate the progressive miracle that much more. Because I know, like that old school church thing where it used to say, I look at my hands and they look new. I look at my feet and they did too. Even though that's not what really happens, it's a metaphor of saying, I don't look like what I used to look like. I don't talk the way I used to talk. That, like the other old song says, a wonderful change has come over me. Because as you walk with Jesus, you will never be the same. So trust him with that process from trauma to transformation. Because what God wants you to do is become a trailblazer of thanksgiving. Because a trailblazer, watch this, is a person who makes a new track through wild country, who goes where there is no road. There is no path where people look at you and say that has never been done before and you're going to lose your mind and somebody might bop you upside the head because they'll think you're trespassing. because you're trespassing their tradition. You're trespassing the things that they're used to. You're trespassing. You're trespassing my pride. What you're doing affects my ego. What you're doing doesn't sit with me because I was told to stay away from what you claim God is doing in my life. But what I love is that the leper became a trailblazer, the one that decided to go back to Jesus, because I understand. I empathize with the other nine. They probably said, I've been sitting in that spot for years. I'm never going back to that place. I already was getting mocked while I was walking here. I ain't going back to that place. I'm going to pretend that that wasn't me. Leprosy, nah, that wasn't me. Oh, hotline bling, that wasn't me.
Demonstrate, sir.
I don't know who these people are. I'm not going to, but that one leper said, but Jesus is still back there.
Come on.
I need to go back. Because I've been waiting for this miracle my whole life. I've been waiting for this healing my whole life. I've been waiting for this breakthrough my whole life. So while you're afraid to go back and testify about your past, you're afraid to say thank you about the things you got to do, I'm going to run to Jesus and say thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for healing me from what people used to call me unclean. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Jesus was so astonished.
Come on.
Jesus' heart was so full because he was so full because he's like, oh my God,
go ahead.
Where are the other nine? But you know what? Look, I'm about to die soon, in a few months, in a few years. I mean, whenever this took place with Jesus. And I have to remind myself, when I do this thing on the cross, everyone's not going to say thank you.
Oh.
When I do this thing on the cross, millions and billions of people are not going to accept my sacrifice, but I'm still going to do it for the one.
Yeah.
And aren't you grateful this morning that God still did it just for you? That your yes, your thank you, your salvation was still enough for him to come and say, yes, I'm going to die for you. Yes, I'm going to pour out my love for you. Yes, I'm going to anoint you because you are enough. I'm so grateful that that's how much my love is worth to God.
Yeah.
Jesus, hallelujah. Because in this season, you can't wait to see what other people are going to do before you do what you know God been telling you to do. I know you waiting for your friends. Y'all might have got trained in ministry together. Y'all might have went to school together. Y'all might have been on the corner together. But you cannot wait. You can't wait for them. They may come, they may not. But I can't answer for them. I ain't going to heaven or hell for them anyway. I have an account to give for what God has deposited in me. So I'm not going to wait for them to do what he called me to do. I don't know, Mom. I don't know.
That's my boy.
Yeah. Be the trailblazer that comes back to say thank you. Because like you said, we know the church will act all perfect. I don't want to be perfect. I don't want to look perfect to impress people. Because I'm trying to save people for Christ. I don't have time to keep images and with the latest trends. We should be having trends in the church anyway, other than saving souls. That's the only trend that really matters.
Wait a minute.
You step on a toes.
You step it hard.
This trailblazing journey is not for the faint of heart, but the rewards are so refreshing. There is a reward for thankfulness. There is a reward for allowing God to use your past, because remember, there's a missing piece. because they were so blessed by the material blessing of healing, you know, by being able to say, oh my God, I'm not leprous anymore. They were so blessed by that, but there was still more healing waiting for them. That's why God will still take you through your past, through prayer, through prophecy, through all these things, because there's still more healing waiting for you. But they were so glad that their outside got healed. They forgot that they needed their inside healed all as well. All that trauma, all that anger, all that frustration that built up that Satan used to infiltrate with his spirits. He said, there's still more healing for you. So think there was something I had more. If you just simply said, thank you, there's more on the other side of thank you. There's more when you choose your gratefulness over grief. So don't be afraid to keep saying thank you. If you feel like your reasons are getting short, dig and find a thank you, Lord, because there's more on the other side of the thank you. Because you see here that Jesus is like, there's so much more for you because you decided to came back. Not only am I going to heal your leprosy, but let me heal your heart. Let me heal your eternity problem. Let me heal you so much that you don't get yourself in a predicament like this again. Hallelujah. Because I need God to use me to show what it looks like to live a life of gratitude in a culture where we complain about every little thing. Life is not perfect. Jesus said we're going to have many issues in this life, but you complain every day because being pessimistic rubs off on people. Yes. Even if you don't participate, it really puts a sour taste in your mouth. What are you complaining about? Billions of people didn't see these past 2 years. You got touched by the same thing they got touched by, and you're still here, and you still complaining? This is why I will never take having breath in my body, still even having the ability to preach and to teach for granted. Because the fact that even by being healed from COVID, the fact that there was no lingering effects, because you got people that have lingering effects, but I'm grateful, like I said, that the evidence was no longer there. So I'm not going to participate in the clapback culture, in the complaining culture, and people that want to act like they're perfect. I want to start a new culture. I want to start a thank you culture. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. I'm not going to be afraid of the audacity of my thank you because of how you was bold enough to put up with me. You was bold enough to call me. You was bold enough to choose me. Thank you, Jesus. Because I went from becoming a leper to now being able to leap, being able to have the activity of my legs, being able to see things that I never thought I would grow back, gifts and talents that I didn't even realize I had begin to stir up. So that's why I'm going to not stay in an attitude of leprosy, because even though the leprosy is gone, I refuse to have an attitude of leprosy, but I'm going to go from leprosy to weeping. So I change my attitude. I change my heart. I change my position because God has been good to me. Because God is still writing my story. And the miracle is still in process. But I'm going to say thank you now because I refuse to be part of a culture that can't say thank you. I refuse to be a part of a church and a part of the bride of Christ that refuses to say thank you. That are always greedy, always asking for things they don't need, but never take the time to say thank you. Because I always will give thanks to God, who always causes me to triumph, who always causes me to triumph, because triumph is a feeling or expressing jubilee after having won a victory or mastered a difficulty. And that's why I'm grateful for this morning, that I can choose to walk in triumph, because we thank God from the outside without ever realizing that we need triumph on the inside as well. And I encourage you today to give God your leper situation and thank him before it gets better. Trust him before you can trace him. Allow him to prove himself to you and make an example out of you for everyone to know him. Because if he can handle my sickness, he can handle my success. If he can handle my leprosy, he can handle my lack. If he can handle my misery, he can handle performing miracles. If he can handle my salvation, he can handle every situation. Because I'm reminded on one Friday on Calvary, when he was bruised for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Because he died so sickness can die. He died so that poverty can die. He died so that depression can die. He died so that dysfunction can die. He died so that the curse can die. And the story don't end there. You already know. You already know. You already know what the deal is. Third day, he rose with all power in his hands, and he rose to give me boldness to access the throne of grace. He rose to give me the power to do all things through him. He rose to make me a new creature, and that's why I'm thankful for the trauma. That's why I'm thankful for the trials. That's why I'm thankful for my testimony. That's why I'm thankful for my transformation. Because I don't look like what I've been through. But because I don't look like what I've been through, Lord, I say thank you. Because I don't look like what I've been through, Lord, I say thank you. Because I don't look like what I've been through, Lord, I say thank you.